Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
Welcome to What a Life with Paul Batura. Paul is a best-selling author, writer, Fox News contributor, and vice president of communications at Focus on the Family. This is a show about the extraordinary value of every life. It's a show about movers, shakers, and culture shapers. And now, here's your host, Paul Batura.
Well, thanks for the introduction, Dr. Bill. Welcome to the program. Wow, here we are in the first weekend of April, which means that snow must be on the way here in Colorado. Hopefully not where you are. But for now, we're sunny and dry, and I hope you're ready for a great conversation today. Special thanks to the Salem Media Network for distributing the program, and to Matt, who is engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Well, I'm excited to get right to it today, especially since our guest is a household name and someone you've inevitably and undoubtedly welcomed into your home these last four-plus decades if you've been a fan of Christian radio. Dr. Dennis Rainey is probably best known for co-founding and co-hosting the nationally syndicated radio program and ministry, Family Life Today. He's won all kinds of awards for doing so, including the National Religious Broadcasters Radio Program of the Year Award. Now, being at Focus on the Family, people often confuse our organization with his, and I'm sure the opposite has happened over the years with him as well. But one of the things I've long loved is how there's really never been any competition between organizations, and certainly not individuals, only cooperation. And as we've often said at Focus, there are enough problems facing the world, and it's great to have as many people ministering and helping to solve them as possible. Dennis is also a prolific author and speaker, and along with his wife, Barbara, the Raineys are in something of a new season of life, but a season that continues to be equally fruitful, busy, and productive. Dennis is usually the one asking the questions, but I'm excited to turn the tables on him and spend these next minutes discovering the rest of his story. So Dennis Rainey, it is wonderful to have you with us today.
Paul, good to be on Focus on the Family. What you're doing there, love it. Love your ministry, and I've been a big fan of Jim and Doc over the years, so it's a privilege to be here.
Yeah, well, you've obviously branched both administrations of sorts, and I'm curious, and I think a lot of people who are listening today may not have heard you in a while, because obviously you made a transition with Family Life. Tell us here at the top, and we want to kind of get into your story and way back at the very beginning, but what are you doing now, and what's going on?
Well, I'm helping give leadership to a couple of digital ministries, websites, therainies.org, and my wife's ministry called everthinehome.com, and it's been my privilege to having been served by her. As she had six kids in 10 years while the ministry was growing like a weed. And here in this next season we're in, we stepped out of leadership of Family Life Today and Family Life, and now are running our small little ministry, but ministering to people on both these websites and having a good time doing it. A lot of challenges, but it's a privilege to serve her.
Well, that's a great supportive husband. And I'm kind of amazed. Look, I mean, maybe I'm not when I think about how many years you've been at it, but the amount of content that you've created, I mean, 50 plus books, 6,000 plus programs. I mean, do you ever stop and just kind of shake your head and think, how did this all happen?
Oh, yeah, all the time. In fact, I like to say it, whatever ministry we've had is a ministry in spite of, not because of.
Wow.
God has overruled a lot of weakness in our lives. In fact, yesterday I got a letter from a chaplain in Trinidad, Colorado, at the prison, maximum prison down there. And he's been leading men through this video series we created a decade ago. And he wondered if it would relate to prisoners. And he's now led 50 groups. He was starting on his 51st and 52nd group as he sent this letter. And so I'm just astounded at the reach and how God can use broken people to get his message out to others. And I just happen to believe that marriage and family today are a Trojan horse to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's lives.
Mm. Well, you've certainly modeled that. And I think I read that you said some of the best advice you were given recently is to really focus on the digital opportunities, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a guy by the name of Pat Gelsinger when we interviewed him. He was a vice president of Intel, and he wanted to be CEO of Intel, but he got overlooked for that, at least temporarily. But he came back, and they asked him to do it. But before he became CEO of Intel, I went by to see him one time, and he said, Dennis, your problem is you're thinking too digital, not from digital. And his whole point was, think of this next generation and where they're getting their information. And we've got a bunch of grandkids, and they're getting their information digitally these days. And so we've reconfigured what we're doing to be able to meet people where they are with our radio broadcasts or our podcasts, our blogs, and things that Barbara's producing. She's doing an After Easter series right now called Eastertide, and it's devotions, a couple of weeks of devotions after Resurrection Sunday, which is just a few days ago, and pointing people to the Savior and to the work of the cross, which is one of the things she's most passionate about. In fact, I have to brag on her, Paul. She's a grandmother of 27 grandkids, and she is enrolled at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Wow.
How does that sound?
Yeah,
she's an incredible woman or not? Yeah.
She is juggling a lot, and I think she's well prepared given the ministry that you guys have managed and lived and just perfectly positioned to do that. And boy, Pat, I know I've heard so many good things about Pat Gelsinger, and that is good counsel. And it's the challenge many of us in ministry face, right? I mean, we're kind of ingrained in some of the old school ways, and yet we're trying to reach new audiences, and you're doing exactly the right thing. And I know the great debate within Focus often is, you know, even things like, do we go on TikTok? You know, it's such a cesspool in many ways. And yet, if you want to reach people, do you need to go where they are? And, you know, that's obviously subjective and debatable, but are you taking advantage of as many social media platforms as you possibly can?
Well, trying to, but I mean, that's a tall order. We've got a very small team, and we're just trying to be effective stewards of the broadcast we created, the blogs, the books, and still do some writing. In fact, next Monday we're going to be down here in Arkansas watching the eclipse. I'm going to be watching it with a bunch of my grandkids down here. I've got a doctor who's an OB doc in Russellville, Arkansas, which is at the epicenter of the route of the eclipse takes to Arkansas. We're going to be there, hopefully not a cloudy day, watching the eclipse, because we've done this once before. Barbara and I saw it, interestingly, a few years back in Providence, Kentucky, of all places.
Ah.
And it's one of the top 10 things we've ever done. We traveled from southern Michigan all the way to Providence, Kentucky, to catch that at that eclipse, and it was, I think it's a forerunner to the second coming of Christ. What I think.
Well, I've heard.
If you're in totality, where the moon completely covers the sun, that moment when it does so, the sun is just filled with sparkles around the edges. And it's a worshipful experience. It's just it's like no other experience I've ever had like that. And so, anyway, Barbara and I were out in the cornfield in Providence, Kentucky, half a dozen years ago, watching the last one. And we're going to be in Russellville, Arkansas, watching this one. So, a lot of things going on in our lives with grandkids.
Yeah, that's great. And I saw a headline this morning talking about someone suggesting that maybe on Good Friday, you know, the first Good Friday, there was an eclipse that may have explained, you know, the darkness. You know, I'm not sure if that astronomically works out, but you know, there's a lot to talk about there and a lot to experience. And I think you've given our listeners something to think about there. That's great.
Well, if they're anywhere near where it's going, they need to grab their kids or grandkids and go take a look, but expect a traffic jam if you do.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's start here, Dennis. You, on a Facebook post a couple months ago, you asked the question, you said, if you could keep only one memory from your childhood, what would it be and why? So as we kind of look back to an early Dennis Rainey life, Is that a fair question to ask you? And how would you answer
no.
that?
No, I just ask the questions, Paul. I don't answer them. Yeah, it's a fair one. It's a fair question. I don't know I've ever asked myself that question and answered it. I guess how I would answer it would be with my mom's family at Christmas time around a pot-bellied stove in a tiny little house that ended up having 9 children in it, and O.T. and Bertha Ray, who were my grandparents, dirt poor. They didn't have anything. There was no TV. There was electricity after a while. But one of my favorite memories is just the warmth of the family in its brokenness and in its imperfection getting together, because that was not a perfect family, I promise you. But O.T. and Bertha feared God, and they obeyed him and followed Jesus Christ and passed that on for more than 50 years. I'll never forget going, when I was 8 or 9 years old, going to their 50th anniversary. In fact, right behind me, I've got their 50th golden wedding anniversary cake topper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, what a legacy. So
yeah, it's a legacy. You know, this is about legacy. That's the kind of legacy to leave right there.
The voice you hear is Dr. Dennis Rainey. He's co-founder of Family Life and Family Life Today, the radio program. He's now in a new season, no longer on the air with them, but writing and speaking and ministering to people in many, many different ways. Dennis, you talk about your childhood in warm ways, even though not perfect. Where did you grow up, and what was your family life like?
Well, I grew up in a town called Ozark, Missouri, which is the capital or the county center for Christian County, Missouri, and a town of 1,325 people when I was there. It's now over 20,000. I used to say I grew up 15 miles south of Springfield. Nobody knew where that was. I now say I grew up 30 miles north of Branson, and everybody knows where that is. So it's just a sleepy little southern Missouri town that was very conservative, and if you did something at 7 o'clock at night, the entire town knew about it by 8:30. And as a kid, you were in trouble by 9:30.
Yeah, a lot of accountability.
A lot of accountability there, Paul, which was very healthy for me as a youngster growing up. Lots of great memories there.
Where did you fall in the family birth order?
I was second. I had an older brother who was 7 years older than me. Yeah.
And then how did your father and mom make a living?
My dad initially pumped fuel from a hand pump to Model T Fords and cars back in the 30s and on after that, but then grew it into a propane business, modestly successful business. But when my dad died, one-third of the entire town of Ozark, Missouri, came to his memorial service. His nickname was Hook because he was a lefty, and he had a wicked curveball. It was the only thing about him that was wicked, his curveball. But he was a good man. His father deserted him and his 9 brothers and sisters when he was a teenager.
Wow.
And he helped raise them and take care of his mom, who lived to be 104.
Wow.
And my dad's integrity was rock solid. It was absolutely, I went to the bank on that group and still do as a man today, thanking God for him. And if he shook your hand, you didn't need an attorney and a bunch of contracts. All you needed was Hook Rainey's promise and his handshake.
So it sounds like you had a very close relationship with him.
I did. I don't know how he did it. He was at all my ball games. I played a little junior college basketball in another town called Neosho, Missouri, after high school. And he came to all those games. I couldn't believe how he did it, because his dad had deserted him. And he didn't really have a father figure in his life, but somehow he figured it out and had other men in his life who mentored him and encouraged him. He was one of the most influential men in my life. Not perfect again, but just rock solid. solid character, and that's what really counts.
What a gift to have a good dad like that. And so what, teenage Dennis Rainey, what is he thinking? You're thinking, what do you want to do for the rest of your
teenage
life?
Teenage Dennis Rainey. I'm not sure he really did much thinking, honestly. I just had a typical teenage, I was trying to find myself and who I was, and I was looking at all the wrong places rather than looking for Jesus Christ. And finally found him at the age of 20 at the University of Arkansas, and actually had a guy by the name of Tom Skinner, who was an evangelist out of New York City. And Tom Skinner was a PK, pastor's kid, who came to faith in Christ over the radio. And Tom Skinner came to the University of Arkansas. And I say this because he was one of the few black speakers they ever had there in the 70s, back in the 70s. But I had the privilege of showing Tom around the campus as he proclaimed Christ. And he started and ended 5 messages at our church, University Baptist Church, led by H.D. McCarty, a great man himself. But he started and ended every message with this quote, and it hit me right between the eyes because I'm from the tribe of the Doubting Thomases. Here's what he said. He said, "I spent a long time trying to come to grips with my doubts. When suddenly I realized I had better come to grips with what I believe. I have since moved from the agony of questions that I cannot answer to the reality of answers that I cannot escape. And it's a great relief." He caught me at a teachable moment. I was lost. I really was lost. And I came down to it and I said, Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. We just celebrated the greatest victory in all of humanity that's ever occurred, the resurrection, defeating death. If he's who he claimed to be, then really nothing else matters. Give me my life to him. And so I surrendered my life to him in college, met a young lady who we fell in love with each other in a kind of a very fascinating dating relationship. But our first Christmas, we were together as a married couple. Before we gave gifts to each other, we signed over the title deed of our lives and surrendered to Jesus Christ. And right now, if you get in my safety deposit box, that paper, those two papers, Barbara's contract and title deed to her life and mine, are the two most valuable pieces of paper we possess. Because it determined the outcome of our lives, the trajectory we're headed. It's not that we're doing things perfectly, although that'd be ideal, obviously, but we've got to settle this issue of who you're going to love foremost. Who are you going to surrender to? Yourself? That's a bad choice, what that is, I've found. Are you going to surrender to the one who just defeated death and holds the keys to heaven and wants to use you for his purposes? And we did that in that first year of marriage. And you listed some things we accomplished at the beginning of the broadcast here. Both Barbara and I are astounded at how God took this very unassuming couple. I mean, I would never have thought we would have ever been on radio. My grammar was terrible, Paul, and from the Ozarks, and had to be corrected by the grandfather of Christian radio, Al Sanders. He would write me after every broadcast and say, "Well, you pronounced this word wrong, and then you pronounced this one." And he just hung in there with me and believed in me and that's really the story of my life. A lot of great men have believed in me and come alongside me, and I give Jesus Christ the credit for my life, and I can't wait to see him.
You remind me of a little D.L. Moody. Didn't D.L. Moody have, like, horrific grammar and bad spelling? And, right?
I've got a book by D.L., and I actually kept it because it's really ancient. Back in the 30s, I guess. I don't know when he was around, yeah. But his grammar in that book, I can't believe somebody published it, but it's a copy of sermons by him. You're exactly right. Hopefully my grammar's a bit better today after almost 27 years of being on the radio, I got corrected a lot of different ways doing that. So you got to work some things out at that point.
The advantage of the years. Well, you mentioned meeting and marrying and falling in love and then marrying Barbara. But didn't she come to you with a question that you kind of were going to counsel her?
Yeah, she was dating my best buddy, and he was kind of hot and cold about her and dating some other girls at the same time, and I knew that. So I told her, I said, "Do you believe God that someone can give you someone else later on you could love more than him?" She thought, "Yeah." And then the second thing I told her, which I think is what you're referring to, I told her a little parable that I had heard that summer at a high school conference that I helped lead. It went like this. An uncle came to his nephew, Johnny, and said, "Johnny boy, would you like a dime today or a dollar next week?" And little Johnny's eyes bounced from the dime, shiny dime, to the dollar, and he thought about what they'd buy, and he was struck with a hunger pain. So he bought a package. He took the dime and bought the package of potato chips, didn't take the dollar, which would have purchased a rubber ball for him. And next week rolled around, and of course, the potato chips had been scarfed down by him, and so he got on his bicycle and went over to his uncle's house and knocked on the door, said, "Hey, Unc, how about that dollar you promised?" And I told this young lady I was counseling, I said, "Do you believe perhaps that my friend is a dime and God's got a dollar for you later on?" And I had no ulterior motives, I promise you. I did not want to date that young lady, but a year later she became my wife. And so I like to say you're looking at her dollar. And I know there's been a lot of inflation since then, and devaluation of the dollar. But nonetheless, I think that's what some single people may be listening to this broadcast right now. I love a quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He said, "Faith is the refusal to panic."
Mm.
Don't drop your guard, your standard, and move in with that guy. Hold out and hold your standard and only marry the very best person God's got for you, who loves Jesus Christ. I think it was maybe Tommy Nelson who made the statement, the way you determine who you marry is you get involved in the race God has for you, and you start running toward the finish line. You look to your left, you look to your right, and you see who's running with you, and that's who you make a selection out of, people who are running toward the same finish line you are.
Mm.
And that's what Barbara and I did, and that was 51 years ago, 6 kids, all married, 27 grandkids. You can get a perfect Christmas card. You can't get a perfect family.
Mm.
It's very real and very rough, but you know what? It's a work of God, and he's still at work. And the ones who created it, Barbara and me.
Wow. Can you share that Dr. Jones quote again? I say that one more time.
It's very complex. Faith is the refusal to panic.
Mm. I love that.
Either God's in charge or he isn't.
Boy.
And so if you want what he wants, Scripture's promise, he is at work within you, both to will and to work his own good pleasure.
Mm. Amen.
And if you set him apart and surrender to him, he'll settle the issue. But I'll tell you, we got some challenges with this generation of young men and women. The average age for young men getting married is almost 30, 20, almost 28 for young ladies. And we've got this concept of adulting, which don't get me off on that right now. But we've got to get with the program and realize there's a generation at stake, and you got to make your contributions to it. We've done ours. We got 27 grandkids. This next generation of single people need to be making their contribution.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the irony of life, I think, is that there's so many adults who are acting like kids, and then there we expect kids to act like adults, with the kind of content that we throw at them. It's a little ironic. I'm Paul Batura. This is What a Life, Lessons from Legends. We're talking with Dr. Dennis Rainey, the famed author and co-founder of Family Life and the broadcast Family Life Today. When we come back, I want to dip into kind of how did family life get started, and obviously a lot more conversation about the Rainey's ministry that continues in fine fashion today. So hang on through the break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Paul Batura. This is What a Life, Lessons from Legends, and what a treat today. We're talking with Dr. Dennis Rainey, who is a best-selling author, and probably you know that name from radio, from co-founding and co-hosting Family Life Today, based down there in Arkansas, but obviously nationally syndicated show. And to this day, Dr. Rainey and his wife, Barbara, are ministering to many through so many different means. They've since stepped away from the day-to-day operations at Family Life, but are continuing to reach this next generation. Dr. Rainey, thanks for hanging on.
It's great to be with you, Paul.
Well, thank you again. And we're talking about your 51 years of marriage, which my wife and I are only at 23, and we've got a long way to go, but we're having a wonderful time doing it. I heard that you and your kids did something special for your 50th. What went on?
Well, Barbara and I started talking about our 50th, and because I'd had grandparents who were married for 50 years and had their cake topper, and it probably cost, back in 1958, it maybe cost 75 cents, maybe a buck and a quarter. I mean, it's cheap, mm-hmm. really cheap. Plastic, and it's still held together. But we wanted to do something that would be memorable for our adult children, their spouses, and our grandkids. And we realized, Barbara said, you know, our grandchildren are not going to remember us. Mm. Many of them are, we've got them down from 18 months all the way to 23 years old. Now, some of the older ones are going to remember us, and maybe we'll be able to pass on a lesson or two through them. So we stuck our heads together, and we decided we would create a book. And we've written a few books over the years, and this is not for sale. We didn't offer this for sale. This was only for our kids. But on the back of the cover of this book, the front is entitled "Our Story: Dennis and Barbara Rainey, September 2nd, 1972 through 2022," and in there it's dedicated to our grandchildren, and it's got all of them, all the way from Samuel, all the way down to Sophie, the last one that was just born, and our children, all of their names and their spouses. But the book's broken into two parts. One is our story of how we came to faith in Christ, how we started, how God got my attention, Barbara's attention, the adventure that we started as a couple, in our marriage, and the summer that changed everything for us, and then God at work through us through a ministry to marriages and families. And we decided after we created this story, it's not long, but we would write it and then give this in a book to each of our children and their spouses, but also a copy to each of the grandkids. And so the first half is our story. The second half is 50 lessons from 50 years of marriage. And after we presented this, we had them all lined up from number at that point. I think it was number 1 through 26 at that point. Had another child born since then, but had everybody had a number, and we passed out a book to everybody. And after we passed them out, we gave this at an old farm that was deeded to Barbara's family in 1856. It was a gift from the federal government to their family, just a land grant. And it's back in the woods in southern Arkansas, and it's on a gravel road. And so when we finished doing this, I actually found one of these books, and these books are expensive. They cost us a lot of sweat equity, but also money to print. And I found it in near a mud hole. One of the grandkids left it out near a mud hole. And so who knows if they'll ever read it? But the point, Paul, is this. The back of the cover, it says, "We will tell to the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord and of his might and the wonders that he has done." Psalm 78:4. And we wrote this book to do that. to tell them who God is, who we are, and how he used some very broken people to declare who he is to a needy world. And so, you know, we don't know. We just don't know. But I do know this. A friend of mine gave me a letter that was written in the 1600s by the great-great-great, however many greats that is, grandfather, to his then adult children and grandchildren. That letter survived all the way to be put in my hands.
Mm.
And that gave us the idea, you know what? The printed page, you know, it may be old-fashioned, but printed copies of things get passed down. So our prayers, God will use our story in some way to point people to Jesus Christ, who last weekend, which was Easter weekend, created the greatest victory in the history of humanity.
Mm.
He defeated death and forgave our sin, and came to offer us eternal life. I love what John says in John chapter 1. He said, look, here is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Now, what a summary of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Great victory he performed, and that's what we've been about through marriages and families, and I hope some of our grandkids, and beyond that, the great greats. Someday Jesus didn't come back, comes back.
I know. Let's hope he comes back sooner than later, but he'll come on his time, not ours.
Yeah, that's right.
You mentioned that the book is private. It's not necessarily something that is going to be available. But I know, I'm sure many of our listeners are wondering, okay, you got to give us something. What's inside that? Give us, and this may not be a fair question to ask you right off the top, but is there a lesson in there that you can share with our audience?
Well, there's 50 lessons. And as we've been married now for 51 years, we've got 51 lessons, but it's not in the book. Yeah, I'd say if I got one letter, you know, we've already talked about one lesson that we've already talked about is surrender to Jesus Christ. Decide who's gonna be the Lord and Master of your life. That was number one. But a second one is close to it. It was the best advice I was given in the first weeks of our marriage over 51 years ago. And I asked a friend, his name was Carl, I said, what's the best advice you'd give me, a young man starting out his marriage? He said, oh, that's easy, Denny. Pray with your wife every day. I said, that's it? That's all you got? He said, no, trust me. You bow with your wife every day. That and pray, that's going to make a difference. Doesn't matter if you do it in the morning or at noon or in the evening or at bedtime. And so Barbara and I chose to do it at night. And I'd have to say, Paul, that lesson, I don't know that we'd be married today because both Barbara and I are strong-willed people.
Mm.
And the very act of prayer, just think of the picture of bowing your head. What's that a sign of? That's a sign of relinquishment. That's a sign of surrender. That's a sign of yielding. And so to pray, you've got to admit there's someone in charge and you're not. And that act, Barbara and I've done, we've prayed together every day in our marriage for 51 years. We've missed a handful of days, but not many. I don't know of another spiritual discipline. Obviously, the scriptures are another spiritual discipline. You've got to have a daily intake of scripture. But this issue settled the reality of Jesus Christ being the Lord and Master of our lives. So we've had to postpone fights and arguments that we've had and ask one another to forgive each other before we go to sleep or the next day. You know, come back around and say, hey, I'm sorry I said that to you last night.
Mm.
Or I'm sorry I didn't follow through as I promised I would. I just think at the core of Christianity is forgiveness. It's forgiveness from God to us so we can forgive those who are closest to us. And I think your closest neighbor is your spouse. And more than one night, we've had to square it away between us. And so, honestly, that's the best advice I can give a young couple starting out their marriage. Pray together every day. Mm. Don't miss that spiritual discipline.
That advice is coming from Dr. Dennis Rainey, co-founder of Family Life and the broadcast Family Life Today. I'm Paul Batura. This is What a Life, Lessons from Legends. That is so good, and thank you for sharing. I think if you walk away with nothing else from this program, but the conviction to pray with your spouse, that would be well worth the time that you've taken to listen thus far. Dennis, you talk about, we talk about family life. The beginning story is interesting to me. Nay Bailey's, am I pronouncing her name correctly?
Uh-huh, you are, all right.
And how it kind of came about because she cried. Tell us how that happened.
Well, this is a great story, and I'll try to give you the Twitter version of this, or I guess it's X now. But anyway, Nay Bailey was a single woman who went with another married couple to the first U.S. Congress on the Family in 1975. And they were sent there by the leadership of what is now CRU. It was then Campus Crusade for Christ. They were sent there because Campus Crusade had had a number of casualties among its missionary staff of marriages that had not done so well. And so they sent this single woman and this married couple, Dave and Sandy Sundy, to this Congress that was hosted by J. Allen Peterson. And there's another great story I hope we get to before we're done here about that. But they came back and they said, they heard Dr. Howard Hendricks speak at the Congress, and he said this. He said, in the city of Dallas, Texas, it takes 3 weeks of intensive training to become a garbage collector. But about all you've got to do to get married in Dallas is to stand before the pastor or the justice of peace and grunt, and you're in.
Wow.
And they caught the vision from that statement to say, we've got to start a marriage preparation course. So they came back, and Barbara and I were just graduating from Dallas Seminary, and we joined another couple, Mick and Helen Yoder and Don and Sally Meredith, who joined us, and we all started what was called the Marriage Preparation and Family Emphasis. And we created a conference for young couples to go to before they got married. And it was designed for single people initially. I mean, we couldn't afford to even take our wives to this thing. Mm. We had three of them the first year, and about 420 people or so came to those three conferences. And the next year we had five, and I think about 700 people came then. And so what happened, these young couples who were engaged or contemplating engagement found out about the biblical blueprints for building their marriage and how you could do it. The job description for the husband, the wife, how to communicate, talking about sex and the marriage bed and finances and all. And they started coming back and saying, can we get back into this? We're now married. We'd like to go through it again. We said, no, you can't go through it because it's just for engaged people. Well, Paul, you know the old statement, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
They beat down the doors, and what started out as a marriage preparation ministry has now touched, I think, close to 5 million people who have been through these conferences since 1976.
Hmm.
And what started as a marriage preparation conference has spawned all kinds of other conferences. But the Weekend to Remember, what it's known by, my son is now on the speaker team. There's a speaker team of 50, 55 couples. And it's not built around a personality. It's built around the biblical blueprints that a couple can get.
Mm.
Because here's the thing, Paul. If you were building a physical house, and you had two different people building it and two different sets of blueprints and two different carpenters constructing it, you'd get some pretty strange looking houses, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if they even stayed up. Yeah.
It's really no wonder that marriages don't turn out. They don't have the same set of blueprints. So we gave people the best blueprints we could find, which is from the best-selling book of all time, the Bible. And it's practical. It's anchored in Scripture. It talks about the spiritual nature of marriage, that it's between a man and a woman, and that Jesus Christ has got to be the builder of that. And so the rest, they say, is history. We've trained people from 107 countries around the world, training nationals. It's been translated into dozens of languages. It's gone to China, Russia. I mean, you name the country. And the reason, Paul, is because family is an international language.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes from one. Most everybody's going to have one. And so you start talking about how to do it. What's the best source? Well, the best source is the one who created it. And I got some news for somebody who says, well, man created it. No, that's what man has done recently. I'm sorry. You know, God created marriage and family, and he knows how to make it work. And there's no question human beings foul it up because we're broken and we're selfish and sinful, and we don't always make the right choices. But I'll tell you, it's still the best blueprints I've found after being in this work for over five decades. I just think every couple who gets married ought to go to one of these Weekend Remember Marriage Getaways, and every married couple ought to go to one every two or three years.
No, they're great, and we all know people who have gone to them and just come back raving. But tell me, you know, as you're talking about the success of them, but it almost didn't happen, right? The crew almost didn't, or Campus Crusade almost didn't sponsor the effort. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You referred to that earlier in this story. When Nate Bailey and Dave and Sandy Sunday came back from that Congress, they told crew leadership what they ought to do, and crew leadership said no. And Nate Bailey, a single woman at the time, I think Nate was probably, this was 50 years ago, I think Nate was probably in her 30s. She said, I put my head down on the table and I began to weep. And I felt like God was crying tears through me for the staff of crew who needed to know those blueprints for how to build a marriage and family. And so the leadership of crew, which was primarily men at the time, did what men always do when a woman cries, they change their mind. And they decided to start this thing.
Wow.
And I don't know why they selected us. Barbara and I had only been married for 4 years. We were one step ahead of the hounds, but we could lead engaged couples because they weren't initiated yet. But we revised the conference after every conference. It went through dozens of revisions and edits. And so what you have now is you have the very finest condensed manual of what the Bible teaches around the major issues in marriage, conflict resolution, sex, husband's role and responsibility, the wife's commitment, what's the purpose of marriage, how you make marriage go the distance, communication, sex, I mean, intimacy, forgiveness, on and on. All those topics are covered in the conference, and people keep coming back. I'll tell you what I love. We started this in 1976, and people did not know who was speaking. Well, how many years is that now? Oh, that's almost 50 years, 48 years later. There'll be 80 of those conferences this year. And my son and his wife will be speaking at them. But they got 53, 54 other couples who speak at them, too.
Wow.
There's two couples at every conference. So I love it that it's not this worship of some hero of the faith. It's really... I hate to put it this way, but it's just common men and women who have gotten the blueprints down, and they're sharing it and breaking it down to others. We got a car dealer in there, a judge, counselors, authors, pastors. My son's a counselor in Franklin, Tennessee. You know, you've got all walks of life in there that can share their version of those biblical blueprints.
Yeah, I mean,
at the core,
we relate to ordinary people because we are ordinary people. And you talk about why did God choose you? And I don't mean this in any way as an insult, but I'm always reminded when I hear questions like that, which I know you're asking somewhat rhetorically, but the line that God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We didn't know what we were doing.
Wow.
So if you had told us at that point, God's going to use you to start ministries in over 100 countries around the world and impact millions. I tried to quit.
Yeah.
I tried to quit early on, and God wouldn't let me. In fact, it's interesting. We've always lived on support, raised our own monthly support on crew staff, and we got a gift unsolicited by a name that some of the folks there in Colorado will recognize, Ad and BJ Coors.
Mm.
The great-grandson of the Coors family sent us a check, unsolicited, and it was a nice check, but it wasn't huge. But he sent that check, and I kept saying, Lord, if you want us to quit, why'd you send this money? And the answer was, I don't want you to quit. And so that was 1979, 80, somewhere in there. And we buckled down, made it work. And what an incredible adventure.
Hmm.
Someone has said, if we can show the world what it's like to follow Christ, it's the most exciting adventure on the planet. All of those who are standing outside the church looking askance at what's taking place inside it, I come wondering what's going on in here.
Hmm.
And so it's not that we've got it all together and we're perfect, but you know, we follow the one who does.
Yeah. No, I mean,
he's got the grace to cover our flaws and weaknesses.
Miraculous things happen. And that's one of the great romances of the faith for sure. Boy, we only have a few minutes left, but before we go, I'd be remiss. We're in the middle of Final Four weekend. We've got a lot of sports fans. We've had guests, sports coaches and things on the program. You've interviewed thousands of people, Dennis, but one of them that many of us love is the late John Wooden. So we only have about 2.5 minutes left, but tell us what you remember about that conversation.
Well, we interviewed him. He was in his 90s. He didn't have a stitch of notes. He was quoting scripture, poetry. We traveled all the way to Southern California to interview him and sat down and interviewed him for 3 broadcasts. And they can listen to that broadcast at therainies.org. It's one of the top 5, top 25, I forget where it is. I think it's a top 5 broadcast. But we talked to him, and I'll tell you what, Coach Wooden, remarkable. He won 10 NCAA championships in 12 years.
Hmm.
Incredibly successful. Character, loved his wife all the way to the end, professed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Master, and built character into the lives of his players. And that interview, I got a chance to ask him all the questions I wanted to ask after watching him on the sidelines for decades. And you know, that roll of paper he had in his hands rolled up. What was that? He said, that was my game plan.
Mm.
I had my game plan there. And I got a chance to ask him a bunch of other questions. And, you know, he was a hero in terms of pushing back against racism. He refused to take his team to a major championship early on in his coaching career because they wouldn't let black athletes stay in the hotel. And so he pushed back on him. I mean, he was a remarkable human being. He's one of my top 5 that we've interviewed.
Boy, pioneer for sure. Dr. Dennis Rainey, thank you for joining us. And again, if people want to access, sign up, get in touch with you, make a contribution, how do they get a hold of you?
They can go to therainies.org or everettheinholm.com. That's Barbara's. I'm both of ours and therainies.org. Both Barbara and I write for that website. And you can pick up these broadcasts we've got there and also find out more information about our ministry.
Great. Well, Dr. Dennis Rainey, thanks again.
Paul, great job.
Thanks for listening to What a Life with Paul Batura. Let him know what you're thinking. Follow Paul on Twitter at Paul Batura, or you can reach out to him on email at paul@paulbatura.com. Most importantly, live a life that emulates the admonition of the Apostle Paul, whose teachings are the inspiration for this show. Writing to believers at Philippi, Paul urged them, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We'll see you next time on What a Life.